If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start there in just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's good to see everyone here today, this first Sunday of this new year. It's our hope and our prayer that our goal will continue to be to serve our Heavenly Father, to push forward in the increasing of our faith through His Word, through our studies, and through our worship unto Him. If you're visiting here with us today, we want you to know that you are a welcome guest. If you see something or hear something that sparks a question, we would invite you to come and ask us the questions and give us an opportunity to study with you from the wonderful Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we had this read earlier for the scripture reading. I want to read that again, beginning in verse 12, and we'll stop in verse 17. He says, "But we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Take note for just a moment there what he says in verse 15 there. "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Just kind of file that away if you would. We'll come back to that later. He says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." He makes a point there in verse 17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There are certain times in our life where we seek some sort of new beginning, some sort of do-over, if you would, or start over. Oftentimes, we kind of, the trend is to reflect that desire in changing our names. Okay, if someone has a past that they're ashamed of, or maybe a past filled with abuse, or just, you know, something in general about themselves they don't like, The trend may be, well, let me change my name, and that will give me a new association. But changing our names doesn't change who we fundamentally are. Going to a new religion doesn't change who we are. Getting rid of our current family and finding a whole new family doesn't change who we are. Those are identifiers that we believe are associated with us. When an individual becomes a Christian, there is a sense, yes, we have a new name. I recognize that. But the change that takes place, this being a new creature, must take place from within our hearts. It's kind of like this. If we want change within our life, we need to start with ourselves. All right, if there's something about me that I don't like, then I need to fix it. I need to change it. If there's something that I've done that I'm trying to run away from, then I need to change myself. I need to deal with that directly. I need to be a better person tomorrow than I was yesterday, if that's where the problem is. Now, the reason why I bring all this up is because he's talking here about Christians, those who have obeyed the gospel's call to salvation. And he makes the point there in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then he says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the change we're talking about. This is the change. When an individual sits down and they study the Word of God, they study about Jesus Christ and why Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross of Calvary. When they study about sin and how sin separates them from God, when they begin to study all that, the goal is for them to be convicted by this truth, to say, what must I do to be forgiven of my past and to walk in fellowship with Christ? And when this change takes place through this conviction, then we have a change of person. We have a change of behavior. We have a change of life. We have then, as he says in the text there, a new creation. There are four things we're going to look at in this lesson here that takes place, if you would, a newness within our life when a person becomes a Christian, when they become this new creation, as we see there in the text. The first thing to understand is when you become a child of God, you are given a new life, if you would. Now, here's what I mean by that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We've talked about this before. We know that sin separates us from God. We understand that. Sin, trespasses of sin, separated Israel from God. Isaiah told them that that's what the problem was. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone says he has fellowship with God but walks in darkness, he lies and the truth is not in him. So an individual who is still living a life of sin, they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Paul makes this point here. We're going to pick up there in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, but God who is rich. Notice here, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. He said, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, he says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So think about this. He tells us that we have been made alive through Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, a child of God, when you have become a new creation, it's because you've been made alive through Jesus Christ. Before, you were separated from God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But now, having obeyed the gospel's call unto salvation, you have now been made alive. And if you look at verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Remember, we said a while ago, if you want to be a different person, you have to change who you are. You have to change your desires. You have to change your pursuits. You have to change the way that you live your life and behave. Well, when an individual becomes a Christian, they're created, if you would, for good works. God has washed all of their sins away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you rose up out of the water grave of baptism to walk in the newness of life, you now have, if you would, a clean slate. Now you've been created for good works. Now go out, serve the Lord. Change your behaviors, change your patterns, change your desires. Someone says, yeah, but these are pretty deep within me. I can't do that. Yes, you can. God would not expect us to do something that is impossible for us. A lot comes down to where is your heart and who do you seek to serve? And so that's kind of the first thing to remember, that when being a new creation in Christ, it is because we have been made alive through Jesus Christ. Real simple concept, but a very important concept. If you were to go back, and I won't belabor this much longer, but if you were to go back and look at the teachings, especially in the epistles, Paul writing to the church in Corinth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see a particular issue here with the people. Let's turn over there for a minute. We'll read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and specifically, let me get to the right location there. Note with me in verse 14. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10, beginning of verse 14. We'll go through verse 22. As an example here of the change we're talking about. The Apostle Paul writes 1 Corinthians 10, 14. He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as the wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Now notice when he says, flee from idolatry. Do you know they had a problem with that in the first century? Worshiping idols was a common thing. And there were individuals who were raised worshiping false gods, bowing down before wooden statues, carved images, and statues of stone, and praying to these imaginary gods. But then along comes a teacher of the gospel and teaches them about Jesus Christ and the one true God. And these individuals hear the truth and they obey the truth. What they also find is they were supposed to stop what they were doing before. Some Christians struggled with that. When I say struggled with it, it's because they still had their desires there within the world. So he says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Verse 16. He explains, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of one bread. Okay, simple understanding and explanation. He says, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to the idol is anything? He says, rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So I use this as an example of change. With this conviction that you've been living in sin and now you want to live within Christ, you want to become a new creation, it means we change who we are, our desires, our practices. We learn that there are certain things we used to do that we no longer do because they're wrong. They're against the Word of God because we have a new life in Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on to the second thing. As we said a while ago, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're talking about being made alive. This idea of being made alive, and we're going to build upon the idea of a new life here again, but let's emphasize, we are to have a new life in Jesus Christ. We were made alive to walk one way, to follow him, but let's do an application of it. We mentioned it a while ago, an example of idol worship. But over in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul reminds the brethren of what they had done, the change that they went through when they became a child of God. He says in Romans 6, verse 1, he says, we shall say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So when you became a Christian, you were supposed to have died to sin, no longer serving it. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, we won't spend a lot of time on this, although it's a very important part of this study. But you remember Jesus Christ, they crucified him, hung him upon the cross, and he died upon the cross. Then they took his body down and they buried him. And then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, never to die again. And so God raises him from the dead. He appears unto his apostles and other disciples. And then 40 days later, he ascends up into heaven, set at the right hand of God. Paul uses that imagery here to convey what happens when an individual is baptized into Christ. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So not only have we been given life, but now being a new creation, we are to be living this newness of life. In our minds, we must have it well established that God has forgiven us of our sins, and now we are to live differently. Over in Colossians chapter 2, when Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, Colossians chapter 2, let's start there here for just a moment, right around verse 10. Yeah, that'd be a good starting point. Let's start in verse 11, be fine. He says there, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So again, keep in mind what he writes here. He's writing to Christians, reminding them of what has already happened when they became a child of God. For those who aren't yet Christians, there's a lot of details in here that tells you what to do to become a child of God. Because we see what was done when these people, how these people became children of God. And if you want to become a child of God, it is the same application here. When an individual believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they make the decision to repent of their sins and be buried with Christ through baptism, they are, through this, putting to death that old man of sin. And when they put to death that old man of sin, he says, being buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, you rise up then to walk in a newness of life. When you become a child of God, a new creation, you arise to walk in a new life. Can we live a new life today? Yes. An individual can change their life. You just got to change fundamentally who you are and the way that you live. You've got to get down to the heart of you and make the change. For one who is a sinner and they become a child of God, it's the same thing. You get down to the heart of who you are and you tell yourself, I'm now going to serve the Lord and not myself. And that kind of leads us to the third one. The third thing that we'll notice when an individual becomes a new creation, you now follow a new direction. In Colossians, this time, let's look in chapter 3, and let's start our text there in verse 1. We now walk by a new direction. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Who are we to be seeking as Christians? Well, he says here, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Had the nation of Israel sought the things of God, they never would have turned against him. As long as we seek to serve God, seek the things of God, then it will help keep us in the right direction. If we allow ourselves to be distracted by something else and we follow that way, we're no longer seeking this new direction. We're no longer seeking those things that are above. He says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. This is that spiritual death, dying to sin, putting to death that old man of sin that we're talking about. When you become a child of God, you died in that sense. Again, know you not that as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so too should we walk in this newness of life here. So he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. God gives us a new direction. Matter of fact, it's the only way we can draw near unto God. James makes the point. James 4, draw near unto God, he will draw near unto you. Well, how do we do that? We seek the new direction that he's given us through his holy word. And so when we do that, we become a new creation. And being a new creation in Christ, we abide by and follow these new directions in life. Let's look at a fourth one. And then this will be the last one we'll consider. And then we'll kind of pull the lesson to a close there with the summary of this. Think about it. You are a new creation. What else do you have? Well, we've been raised from the spiritual dead. We talked about that. He's made us alive. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. We have a new direction to follow. And there's probably many more things we could put in here. But we have a new family. Okay? Turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul talks about what happens when an individual takes this step, makes this decision to become a, to obey the gospel's call unto salvation. We say become a child of God, and here's why. Let's start there in Romans chapter 8, and let's start in verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, he says, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, he says, you will live. There's the imagery again. Here he uses the terminology, for if you live according to the flesh, he says, you will die. Here's what he means. All right, you'll die spiritually, and of course you'll lead to physical death as well, but you'll die spiritually. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, this is a change we're talking about. Begin to learn. Little God says, these things are wrong. This is what I need to be doing. These are the things I need to avoid. We begin to shape our lives after this pattern there. Okay, but continue though for the context here. He says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he says, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or literally, Father, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In the physical world, we understand the idea of adoption. Okay? You have a child that is born into the world. And for whatever reason, the parents decide to give the child up for adoption. Many times it could be a selfless act because the life that the child would be born into, they know would not be a good life. It could be selfish reasons, you know, just depends on the situation. But anyway, that child's last name at birth is, I don't know, Simpson. Okay, we'll pick a name. And then, so you decide you're going to adopt that child. They offer you, you adopt the child. So you go through all the legal process. And when you're done with all that, the child already has your heart from day one. And you begin to take care of the child and raise the child. But when the whole legal process is done, that child's last name is no longer Simpson. It takes upon your last name. And not just your last name, but a spot in your family. So now this child who you did not give birth to, but now you've received through adoption, becomes an equal with one of your other children. You know, and sometimes the word is said, yes, I didn't labor physically, but there was a lot of mental laboring going through to complete this adoption. Now, what's my point? Paul makes the point here that when an individual becomes a Christian, he says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified together. Some will say, yeah, but we're children of God because he created us all. That ain't the context he's talking about. He's talking about the context where we become brethren with Christ. Because Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. And we heard that gospel's call. And we turn to our Heavenly Father in obedience to that gospel's call, and we became his children. Isn't that a beautiful concept? And so if God is our Father, who's our brethren? Other children of God, those of like precious faith. Those who, too, have chosen to follow the gospel's call and become one of God's children. And so now we have a spiritual family. A glorious spiritual family that we're now a part of. And there's a lot we could say about that, but it gives us great assurance as we live as this new creation. So there are four things we've talked about. Being a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have been made alive, and we've been given a new life, a new direction, and a new family. If there was to be a fifth one, and I'm more moving this into the realm of the conclusion, we should also have, as a new creation, a new motivation in life. Okay? We read a while ago about seeking those things that are above. Okay? We talked about it. Turn back over real quick. Now, I asked you to remember a passage. Turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there in verse 15. He said here, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Our new motivation is to serve God. Our new motivation is to serve Jesus Christ. We no longer seek to serve ourselves and our selfish desires. We seek to serve Christ. We no longer seek to serve others, as in doing what they would have us to do. We seek to serve Christ. We no longer seek the ways of the world and what the world would have us to do. We seek to serve Christ. When you become a Christian, you do so because you want a new motivation, if you would. You want a new direction in life. You want a new life and to have this, have to put to death that old man of sin and be made alive. That's what you're wanting when you become a child of God. And that's what you receive when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now take this motivation. Take this motivation within your life and let it guide you. Now, you're not going to do everything perfectly. The only one that has ever lived who has done everything perfectly is, of course, Jesus Christ. But you learn and you grow. That's the thing about repentance here, real quick. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 38. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So the idea of repentance is, of course, to turn away from sin. When you first become a Christian, yes, all your sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But now you got to learn a lot. And the aspect of repentance that's very important is also an attitude of willingness to change. All right? So there's things that you'll learn about when you're studying about the truth and becoming a child of God. You'll learn about things that are wrong. But 2 or 3 weeks after you become a Christian, you'll be sitting in services listening to the preacher talk or a Bible class teacher teach, and you'll hear something that'll perk a thought within your head. You'll say, "Wait a minute, you mean it's wrong to do that?" You'll say, "Yeah, Bible teaches it's wrong. So what are you going to do?" "Well, I don't buy that. I can keep on doing it anyway." Or you'll say, "Well, I got to stop because I want to be right with God." And this attitude of repentance should go with you through the rest of your life because you're seeking those things that are above. You're seeking to serve Jesus Christ. And when you learn that something is wrong, that you're doing is wrong, whether it's through misunderstanding or willful obedience, you finally get to that point with repentance, you'll say, "I will come back. I will turn away and I will seek the Lord Jesus Christ." So if you're not a Christian, you need to become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And the way that you do that is by submitting to the gospel's call into salvation. Sin has separated you from Jesus. God sent Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary so that you can be redeemed, brought back to God. But in order to do that, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have the willingness to repent of your sins, to turn away from that past. Make the public confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then be buried with Christ through baptism so you'll rise up then to walk in newness of life. When you do that, not only does the Lord add you to the church, and Acts 2 makes that clear, but you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian and you've not been living faithfully, if you've not been living as a new creation in Christ, then it's time to repent. Turn away and turn back to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and be restored to His fellowship. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.